Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
All right, time to welcome in the Major Billy Downer from the Department of Natural Resources here in the great state of South Carolina. Another edition of SC Wild from DNR here on Sports Talk. Major, how are you?
Doing great, sir. Enjoying a little fireside chat with Phil.
There you go. Just like 2 weeks ago, you got the fire lit, and you didn't have to rub two rocks together to make it happen. I'm proud of you for that. We've got Thanksgiving coming up next week. What are some of your thoughts for the outdoors people in our audience leading up to Thanksgiving, turkey hunts and things like that? Not only that, but preparing some great dishes for Thanksgiving. What do you got?
Absolutely. So turkey hunting, you know, is not in here. Well, turkey season, we don't have a fall season, but certainly this coming Saturday is opener for duck season.
Did we lose the Major?
20-27.
Go ahead, Major. You dropped out there right after you said it's duck season.
Okay. It's duck season again, so we're working through that. We're going to be Saturday. A little cooler weather this week, hopefully, has made it a little bit more conducive to duck hunting for most folks. We don't like to hunt when it's hot for duck hunters. We like it when it's cold. Some cold weather this week, supposed to be some cooler weather maybe next week over Thanksgiving, hopefully get another push of ducks down. I know that our WMAs right now, folks are always interested in what the flight looks like, where are ducks at. We've got a good many ducks at, I know, the Coastal Reserve, Sandy Coastal Reserve, Murphy Island. Bear Island is loaded right now here, which is good news. Last year was kind of a slow year there. So both our upper and lower coastal units are full of ducks right now, which is good news for anybody putting them in the province and anybody, you know, in the local areas, because when we have ducks, they're going to go off those areas and mill around, and folks are going to be able to have a chance at them. So duck season, what we're preparing for. We'll go over some of the rules on duck hunting a little bit, just kind of remind everybody what we need to think about for opening day duck season. But outside of that, you know, always bring quail supplies, the squirrel season comes in, rabbit season's in, everything starts coming in at Thanksgiving. Deer season's in full swing. This cold weather this past week has once again picked up the big buck hunt, so to speak. It picked up. Folks are seeing some nice bucks being taken. On the deer hunting scene. So one quick on fishing. Got a really good report today that the trout bite is on from Buford to Little River. That's pretty good. That means from the south part of our coast to the north, we've got a good trout bite going on. So speckled trout are biting, you know, late this year. Typically it's in October, but this year in November, they're about biting pretty good. I'm understanding the black drum are also biting very well inshore. So those are two really good target species for eating as well. I like black drum. They don't have any of the red meat. The red drum does. Of course, red drum gets all the fanfare because they are all that kind of trophy fish. But the red drum can be caught pretty much this year also.
Major, let me jump in real quick. We're going to call you back. We've got a week sale with you. So if you would, hang on, because you're kind of fading in and out. We're going to call him right back and reconnect with Major Downer, hopefully get a better cell signal, because I want to be able to clearly hear what he's talking about. He was talking about ducks and duck hunting, and areas of South Carolina loading up with ducks, so that's certainly good news. He was talking about trout fishing and how trout fishing up and down the coast of South Carolina looks very, very good at this moment, and so we'll let him pick back up on that right now as we reconnect with the Major, talking about fishing up and down South Carolina. You were saying it looks very good for trout right now. We'll be right with him in a second. In the meantime, I'll tell you, updating the women's basketball game, South Carolina has extended the lead 4:55 to play in the half. 20-14, USC over Clemson. All right, Major, back with you. You were talking about how good it looks in trout fishing out there.
Yes, speckled trout bite is on from Buford all the way up to Little River. Don't know how much we missed out, but there, trout bite's doing very well. Black drum bite's doing good as well. Of course, you know, red drum this time of year. So we're talking about inshore fishing, saltwater. That's doing great right now. You know, that's kind of the last, if you will, big push before winter is that trout bite. And that's on right now. So if you're wanting to go catch trout, now is the time to go do it. They're biting. They'll probably biting for another week or two. And then when it gets really cold, you know, it'll slow down. But right now, the trout bite is on.
How do you like to prepare your trout when you cook it?
So, I'm one of those guys that likes to fry a lot of stuff. I like frying fish. We like to fry them in small, bite-sized pieces with some good. With maybe either a, everybody likes to use different things. Some people, like old core folks, want to use cornmeal. I like using some of the hot, a little bit more modern mixes that are out there that have, you know, a little bit of a hot pepper mix to them a little bit. Gives you a little bit of a spice. House Austry is one of my favorites, and they have a medium hot, which is really good to me. It gives a little kick to chicken, or chicken, and it gives a little kick to fish. But trout are really good if you fillet them, leave the skin on, and put them skin side down on the grill. I know my old director loves this recipe, Alvin Taylor, and put mayonnaise across the top of the meat and grill them, and they are incredible. It's a little pepper and salt. Really good that way. Any good lemon recipe is good, too. Some lemon marinade, you know, lemons, again, on the grill, really good. Leaving that skin on there to kind of protect that fish, the inside of the meat, and let it cook slower. But those are some ways to do trout. But let's go back to duck hunting because we're in that kind of verge of starting duck hunting. So let's go over some of the basics for waterfowl hunting so that folks just have that reminder. I know people are shaking their head going, we hear this every year, but you know what? Some people need to hear it every year because they forget every year. One of the most common questions we get is about duck stamps. So the state duck stamp's gone, but the privilege you have to pay for. So it's $5.50. You don't necessarily get a stamp anymore, but you pay for the state waterfowl privilege. It's $5.50. Then you're going to pay for your federal waterfowl stamp. Now, a lot of folks are getting the federal waterfowl stamp electronically. They may go to Walmart or to another licensed vendor or to your DNR office, and they will not get, or they may do it, online, which is a more popular method to do it, and you're not going to get your stamp immediately. And you're going to get sent a question, and a lot of people have a question. They don't understand this. So it says, your stamp is valid for 45 days from the date of purchase. What 45-day period do you want to begin on? And that confuses people because if they're trying to buy it maybe in September, they'll start at September 1st, and in September, in the middle of October, 15th or so, that stamp, they think it's invalid according to that electronic purchase. But what the truth of that is that stamp, when you purchase electronically, and there's not a stamp to give you, that 45 days is there for you to be able to hunt with that electronic privilege on your license. And that's 45 days for the mail to get your stamp to you. And once that stamp comes to you, you're supposed to sign the stamp as always and affix it to the back of your license. Now, if you don't get it in 45 days, can you not hunt? Well, I'm going to tell you, yes, you can hunt as long as you've got that privilege on there showing you bought that waterfowl stamp. Because it's not going away. You bought it. But you're supposed to, within the 45 days, get your stamp, place it on your license, and sign it. And that's a common question we get a lot. People don't understand that. I had some youngsters think that's 45 days, you had to go buy another stamp. Well, that's not true. Again, so that's how the 45 days works on the electronic stamp when you purchase the federal duck stamp. So just to clarify that a little bit, again, to waterfowl hunt, you've got to have a regular state hunting license, your state waterfowl privilege, and your federal duck stamp. Once you have those, you can hunt waterfowl when you're hunting waterfowl, you've got to have non-toxic shot, steel shot, heavy shot, tungsten, matrix, bismuth, a couple different approved methods out there, but non-toxic shot. I can tell you that this year, the hunt is on for steel shot because it's hard to find. A friend of mine was calling me in Charleston, from Charleston, saying, if I knew where any steel shot was, please go buy it for him and let him know, because it's just hard to find steel shot. Like anything, like ammunition in general, it's hard to find any type of ammunition, particularly rifle ammunition right now. And steel shot is just as hard, it seems, right now to find, to get. So folks are scrambling a little bit looking for steel shot. But you have non-toxic shot. You have, your shotgun has to be incapable of carrying more than three shells at a time, which means it needs to be plugged. Mm-hmm. Properly plugged means it's incapable of carrying more than three shells. It doesn't talk about what the plug has to be made of. It could be a pencil. It could be a piece of plastic. But it may not hold more than three shells, one in the chamber and two in the magazine underneath. That's migratory bird standard there.
All right.
The time that you can hunt ducks. Remember, hunt ducks, you can hunt ducks from 30 minutes before sunrise, official sunrise, until sunset.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Phil.
No, I was going to say, hate to break in, we do have a caller for you from Spartanburg, if you want to take a call real quick with a question.
Sure, go ahead.
All right, this is John from Spartanburg. Got a question for Major Billy Downer from DNR. John, go right ahead, please.
Okay, good evening, John. I wanted to ask, Major, this may not be in your field, and it's totally unrelated to what you're talking about now, but I'm from the low country, and growing up, we had a huge garden, okay, and we planted corn, cabbage, collard greens, green beans. Okay, the question that I have for you is, and it's a head-scratcher for a lot of people that I've asked this question, why aren't we able to go into, let's say, the woods and find these things growing? And, you know, we plant the seeds, but why aren't we able to go into the woods and find corn and these things growing naturally?
Hmm. That's a good question I've never thought of, Major.
All right, so you get back into history, where did we learn to grow corn from? We learned to grow corn from the Indians. The Indians planted it for food, maize, corn, those kind of things. But today, the corn that we plant is genetically engineered a lot of times. Roundup Ready corn has been genetically enhanced to be able to be sprayed with Roundup. You've got Liberty Link corn to spray with Liberty Link spray. You've got corn that is post-resistant, which is another type of spray. All these are herbicides that allow corn to grow without competition. So that's the answer for corn. Corn doesn't grow wild in the woods. You're not going to find corn in the woods. You're not going to find cabbage in the woods and the other things from your garden, because those seeds are now solely planted in gardens. And without that seed, that garden, or that plant being held and protected for the winter, that seed's going to get destroyed and not be able to produce in the spring when it should grow.
Uh-huh.
So that's one of the answers I would, you know, give you about production type seeds, cucumbers, watermelons, whatever. Now you can throw watermelons and certain other plants out in the edge of the of your yard and the edge of the woods, and if it gets enough sunlight and water, it's going to grow wherever you throw the seeds. But when it produces that fruit, if you will, and that fruit rots and dies, those seeds may last through the winter. They may not. But one of the biggest things, again, is so much of our seed is production-based and is grown in fields. They're not going to grow in the woods where you have different acidic-based soils like pine forest. The pine forest, the pine straw that pine trees drop, creates an acidic environment beneath the pine to sterilize the surrounding flora fauna, if you will, to protect that pine and let it be the big tree in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
So things don't grow very well in a pine forest, which is why we always talk about in deer hunting that pine forests are in fact almost a desert land, because hardly anything grows there because the pine straw creates that acidic base. Again, oak trees and other things, they naturally shade out the ground beneath them, and so light does not hit the ground, so things can't grow there. So there's a variety of answers, I hope, that would answer your question that would make sense.
Okay, yeah, that does. And I just thought of it one day. I wondered where the Native Americans got the corn, you know, that just they called it maize at that time, but where they would even get the seeds to grow it, you know, just one.
So,
you know,
they planted it and then they would keep it over the winter, just like we stored food. They would store it in their own storage facilities at the time in their, you know, own way. They would store that seed and save it for the next spring because they knew they had to have it to be able to plant it again. So they couldn't just leave it out there. They had to store it.
But where would they get the seed from is what I'm saying. Where would they originally get it?
That would originally come from when we had – you're going back beyond my knowledge. I'm not sure I can tell you exactly where they got the seed. I know that they had it, and they introduced it to the poor pilgrims so they could eat. But anyway, that's my best guess at it.
It's a conundrum. Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the call from up in Spartanburg, listening to us up in the upstate. And that's good. That is off the beaten trail for you, sir.
We've never had that. We have to get an agronomist on board for that one.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good one. Let's finish up with duck hunting.
Let me throw the number out there real quick. Anybody else has a question about growing things or fishing? Or hunting, 888-898-2525 is the number. Let me say this, too. You brought up an interesting thing about the pine trees and the pine straw and all that. So for those of us who are homeowners who have pine trees in our yards, and we love the pine straw, yet it's hard sometimes to grow the grass around those pine trees. Is that because of what you were saying, the same kind of effect?
Absolutely, and that's one of the main reasons why in the low country we love live oaks. And live oaks naturally put out an acid through their root system to prevent competition from grass, which is why under live oaks, you see barren ground. It's hard to grow grass there, not only because of shade, but because the live oak itself, in a self-protection measure, puts out tannic acid there, or I think it's tannic acid, that prevents grass from growing, which is kind of neat if you think about it.
Interesting.
But talking about growing things, this is a good time. Unfortunately, I was talking to our meteorologist, state meteorologist, the last 2 days, asking her where the drought's coming from. And she said, what drought? But we are in a La Nina again. Remember that Mexican word we learned how many years ago? We're in a La Nina period again, which typically means we don't get as much rain, but we are in that period of time now, early November, where folks are planting their winter food plots, wheat, oats, winter peas, for instance, clovers. This time of year, you can plant for deer forage. Particularly, probably one of the favorites is naked oats. I know Wanamaker Seed has that, but naked oats is one of those deals that just a long time ago, one of my good friends, Dave Bauman, the biologist with DNR, was retired now. Had done some research on that, and the naked oats, it's called naked because the seed itself doesn't have that big husk as normal oats do. It's a little bit, it's kind of huskless. It's called naked. But the naked oats produce up to 17% protein at times in that green foliage, and deer seek protein out, and that's just a big deal. So folks wanting to plant winter forage, now's a good time to do that. If we got some rain coming in the next week, I think we got a hope of a little rain maybe next week. Mm-hmm. Getting those food plots in, disking that ground up, planting that seed so that you can get it up for the deer before the end of the season in January 1st. So now's a good time to do that. One more thing as we're talking about planting, our dove season again will also come in again for the Thanksgiving season now. And folks are still baiting for doves legally with wheat. Remember, you have to till the soil up. There has to be good ground to seed contact. Can't throw it out of the grass. You got to till the soil up, disc it up, well disc ground to ensure good soil to seed contact. But you can spread wheat up to 200 pounds per acre through November 30th and hunt doves over it. After November 30th, you cannot spread wheat anymore. But you can spread wheat over a well-prepared seed bed, as the wording says, up through November 30th. Some folks have been doing that right now, and the opposite of our what we talked about with deer plots, folks don't want rain when they throw the wheat out because they don't want it to sprout. They want it to stay on the ground as long as they can. Now's the time to be spreading wheat. Dove season back in, coming back in here, and folks will hopefully have some good dove hunts over wheat. Again, we were happy that happened several years back. Clemson kind of backed up and allowed for baiting, allowed for spreading of top sowing of wheat as a normal agricultural practice. That was the key word we needed to allow hunters to be able to do that to attract doves, is that spreading wheat, top sowing wheat, is considered a normal agricultural practice from October 1st to November 30th, which opens the door for us to be able to spread wheat. Again, up to 200 pounds per acre on a well-prepared seedbed. So just another reminder there. So back to waterfowl before we end up. I know we got just a few minutes left.
Yes, sir.
Waterfowl season, we're reviewing that. Steel shot, non-toxic shot. Make sure your gun is plugged. It's incapable of carrying more than 3 shells. Make sure you got your federal duck stamp, your state waterfowl privilege, and your state hunting license. Remember, the times to hunt are from 30 minutes before sunrise until official sunset. Official sunrise and sunset, pretty much not hard to miss anymore because it's on your phone. You can't mess that up. Remember also, this coming week, those that go out there and start holding those holes, remember to give enough space between you and other hunters. Don't get in a tussle or an argument or a shout match or by no means shoot guns up in the air, which has been done over the years by folks that lose a temper. Give room for others. Allow enough space between you and the next party hunting so that you can safely hunt. Again, always determine your safe zone of fire, which means know where you can swing on ducks coming in and not shoot towards somebody else.
Did we lose? Did we lose the Major?
Well,
there you go. Go ahead, Major. We lost you there for about 15 seconds.
Oh, sorry. Make sure enough space between you and other hunters, at least 200 yards, to provide a little bit of a safe buffer if you're out there on the water. So those are just some of the common courtesy things that are in rules. That's not the law, but that's what we call ethics, which are the rules to live by. And it's something that just makes the experience a whole lot better for all of us if we just try to give space to everybody else so that we can have a set time to enjoy hunting. One of the other ethical things we want to talk about is what we used to call sky busting. And a lot of these young folks, they buy those 3.5-inch shells, number twos, number one shot, BBs, and they're shooting a duck 60 yards high. And you're just not going to take ducks down that high effectively. You may hit one from time to time, and all that does is spur people on to do it more, but you're going to injure a whole lot more than you take down, and you're going to cause that animal to suffer, and that's not what we want to do as hunters. We want to make clean one-shot kills to try to take animals down quickly so that we can be ethical in what we do when we hunt. Also, blowing up there at ducks too high just makes ducks fly even higher and keeps anybody from enjoying the hunt around you. So take shots that you can make. Get those shots in at decoying. Make it challenging. Call those birds in. Get them to within 20 to 30 yards. Make it a really good shot. 40 yards at best. But get those birds to what we call decoy in. Set those feet down and get the wings cupped and get a nice shot so that everybody has a chance to have that opportunity this duck season.
That sounds like some sage advice. Listen. We want to wish you and your family a very happy Thanksgiving, the beginning of the holiday season. We always appreciate everything you bring to Sports Talk, and we look forward to talking to you again after the holiday.
Thanks, Joe. Y'all have a good Thanksgiving.
Thank you very much. Great stuff from Major Billy Downer from DNR, and that is SC Wild here on Sports Talk on this Wednesday night. They've gone to halftime at the Colonial Life Arena. USC women up on Clemson. 27-17. You want to hear what the coaches have to say afterwards? We'll have it on our website for you, sportstalksc.com. Thanks for being with us. Have a great night. See you tomorrow.